Everyone, we're back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing. I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri. We're presented by PPV.com. And we're ready to jump into another week of crazy hijinks in the boxing world. We got a lot of fights this weekend. Easter Sunday fights, Saturday fights, Australia, heavyweight action, all women's action across the pond. We'll break it all down. Zayas versus Boots got announced earlier in the week. That seems pretty freaking awesome. You know what's also awesome is our partnership with PPV.com. They have been sponsoring us for a few years now. They allow us to do the show twice a week. PPV.com is the home for boxing, AEW wrestling. I believe there was some tennis on there this past month. They're getting into a lot of different things. No subscriptions. You go event to event. On this past Saturday for Ndura versus Thurman, there was a live interactive chat that I was a part of. That they do for all fight nights. So follow PPV.com on socials. Get locked in with them. Get locked in with us and all of that stuff. Hello, Chris. How are you today?
I'm good, Dan. Speaking of boxing hijinks, maybe we should try our hand at tennis. Maybe we can get into the tennis biz. You know, we gotta wear different clothes, but, you know, we can talk tennis.
It's a superstar-driven sport. It's much like boxing, like golf,
that's what I mean.
Boxing, tennis. It's singular sports. They're all about like the Federers, the Djokovic's, you know, golf is Tiger Woods, even though he's on some tough times. What's going on in Florida?
Have you been to Florida? You've been to Florida. Yes. Florida's a cool place. Times. People like have fun in Florida. There's booze everywhere. Our supermarkets have bars, tap beer at the supermarket. There has been a new law. If you purchase beer in the supermarket, you're allowed to walk and drink.
It's like
Did
Vegas.
You know that? Did you know that?
Didn't know that.
That is a law in Florida. Florida likes to party. Florida likes to drink. Florida likes to do recreational drugs. Florida is a very cool place.
Yeah, Tiger wasn't on booze, but the body cam footage just came out. He was messed up on some other stuff.
I just saw the photos and the mugshots.
Yeah, the video just came out. He was hurting. Hope he gets all the help he needs. There's a lot of help needed in the boxing world. Should we just start with this Deontay Wilder, Derek Chisora fight week that has not disappointed?
No. Both the guys are characters. And both, you never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates, those two. You don't know what you're going to get with those guys. Wilder is, sometimes he's emotional about the cry. Sometimes he's yelling at people saying that they cheated him. Sometimes he's talking about ejaculate. He's the guy is all over.
Ejaculate.
If people don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Wait. If people don't know what you're talking about, here it is.
Fill them in. Oh.
Her mother tried to set me up, you know, to have the baby. You know, she ejected my sperm in her and ran in the bathroom and locked the door. And that's how we had her.
Really?
Yeah. You know, truth be told, she don't even know I know this.
Wow.
Wow.
Piers Morgan's reaction is probably the most entertaining part of that. And that's crazy because that's a wild statement. We live in a world of oversharing, guys. There's just, you don't have to tell everybody everything that's going on. You know,
Piers Morgan, who has had on crazy politicians, crazy athletes, everything, all walks of life. He's doing this for a long time. His face, he was like, really?
That was probably a first for Piers Morgan. He's probably never heard of anyone talk about ejaculate on his very, very premier show.
Like The way Deontay Wilder was describing the ejaculation was like him breaking down a fight. Like breaking down a fight in his career.
Cool, calm, collected.
He did it stone-faced.
He's told that story before.
And it leads me to believe that the line here on Chisora knockout, which right now is plus 135, it should be minus 1,000.
So you're not thinking Wilder is showing up with the right headspace, is what you're saying.
Dude, he's fried. Beyond fried. I've watched him cry in a separate interview and recreating that till this day. This batshit crazy interview with the wife that has gone mega viral, has crossed over into beyond sports, beyond boxing.
Yeah, it was on Piers Morgan. That's a political show.
But I'm talking about like, all right, now it's on like TikTok, Instagram, but like not like your normal sports feeds. I have friends that don't even watch boxing sending it to me.
More viral than Jarrell Miller's hair? Because that went everywhere too. So not quite that viral.
No, because that was like a, you kind of laughed at that. This one was like,
yeah, this is a little, this also, it's also, that was also PG. This is not.
This is so vile and so descriptive and just graphic. And like saying your daughter, like one day will watch that, got conceived. Like it was, I'm not even playing any more of the clip because it's insane.
Yeah, it goes, yeah, guys, go check out the clip on your own. It goes way deeper than that. That was
a minute 10.
Yeah, that was like nothing compared to what else goes down in the rest of that interview or statement.
Like he's completely lost his mind because we've talked about this in the past. It's like the minute he started doing the psychedelics,
ayahuasca,
was the minute he lost his edge.
Yeah, I bring that up pretty consistently. No one ever agrees with me though. No one else ever thinks about that. But I don't think anybody really knows much about ayahuasca. Not that I really do either. I've never done this stuff, but I just know I've from people that have done it, people who talk about it. I've listened to a podcast or two here or there about it. Apparently it touches a person's empathy. Fighters' empathy don't really go together. High level fighters and empathy are not two things. You're going in to hurt people, and empathy is all about feeling other people's pain. So it's not a great thing to have as an elite fighter.
And then the other side of things, you have Derek Chisora begging Zuffa for a job, begging Dana White for a job.
Then saying, I didn't see that. What was he saying?
I don't know. I don't know what prompted the question. Someone asked Chisora his thoughts on Zuffa, and he just started begging Dana White for a job and laughing.
What kind of job? Like a fight or like a commentator?
I don't know. A fight, commentator. Bodyguard? I don't know. And then got pushed a little further on it and asked, like, what do you think about the Dana Eddie beef? He says, oh, when two white guys fight, you just kind of stay out of it. Didn't quite understand what he meant by that, but like craziness. But if Wilder is making Chisora look like the stable one here, Wilder's completely lost it.
And yeah, you're right. Chisora is normally the guy that is making headlines, and he can't out headline Wilder right now. That tells you something. But listen, am I crazy to think like this might actually be an entertaining fight? I'm actually looking forward to it. I don't mind the fight at all. I think initially I was like, oh no, these guys shouldn't be fighting. But then I'm like, eh, they're both 49. They have 49 pro fights. They're gonna share their 50th fight together, which in the modern era for heavyweight is crazy. 50 fights in the modern era is nuts for heavyweights especially. And you got two guys that are, you know, the tail end of their twilight of their career. They're gonna make a bag. And honestly, I think they're both over their best, over the hill enough that it's actually going to be entertaining and competitive. So, I don't know. I don't hate it.
We're going to be watching. It's a type of fight.
Call me a sadist, like, but.
Yeah, we're going to be watching like a train wreck, kind of like, wait, this is actually fun. Who's going to get, it's not going to go the distance. I mean, the over-under is 8.5.
I mean, and if it does, the last thing we need is for that to go the different distance. That'll be a slop fest down the.
It's gonna be a sloppy fight. Chisora's -190, Deontay Wilder's +150. I just told you that Chisora knockout is +135. I might play that after watching an interview and watching. Not only just like the interviews, take all the interviews out of it. Like Wilder hasn't shown anything over the last couple of fights. He can't pull the trigger anymore. He just doesn't have any punch resistance. Yeah, mental aspect is completely gone. Like the physical isn't there either, and Chisora isn't a spring chicken either. This is his 50th fight, and he's been in the ring with everyone. He's been beat up. He's in these wars. It pains me to think what his brain might look like in 10, 15 years from now, and what he'll be experiencing. But he has shown like a lot more grit, and has shown a lot more life than Wilder has in the last like 3 years.
And I'll say this about Wilder. It's never been about physicality because his physicality is great. Even you see him now, he looks awesome in the gym. He's jacked. He looks like he's cracking with that right hand as always. He's snapping that jab. He's moving good. It's not that. It's up here. It's psychology. And in this fight, this is going to come down to the psychology because I think physicality, you've got Chisora who is super gritty. He's rough. He's tough. He's sloppy. He's mean. You know, he comes forward. He just throws bombs. He's not a huge puncher. He's durable, but also we've seen him starched. Like he's a real anomaly in terms of what you're going to get with him, because again, he's not a huge puncher, but he'll knock you out. He's a durable guy, but he'll get knocked out. But psychologically, he's always gritty. He's always tough. He's always mean. And with Wilder, he's always got the physicality. That right hand will never go away. He's got a cannon for a right arm. So he's always got that thing in his back pocket. But the psychology to pull the trigger and to deliver the heavy artillery, we haven't seen that in years. So it comes down to psychology. And unfortunately for Wilder, and unfortunately for the sport, because we're not going to get what Wilder could fight after this, is that Chisora probably wins this fight based on just being a tougher guy.
I'm on his Chisora's box rec right now. And,
you know, it's nuts.
A few like scrolls on the MacBook, like maybe three scrolls, you get to a fighter like the beginning of their career. I'm on like five scrolls, and I've gotten to 2011 when he first fought Tyson Fury, Helenius from there, Vitaly Klitschko, David Hay, Malik Scott, Tyson Fury again, Pulev, Dillian White. He fought Caballel in 2017, lost a decision to Caballel. Carlos Takam, Dillian White again, Usyk, Parker twice, Pulev, Tyson Fury, Joe Joyce, Otto Wallin.
Everybody. He's fought everybody. Everyone.
Now Deontay Wilder.
And he's on a three-fight win streak right now. So he's got momentum too. You know, he fought Gerald Washington. He looked horrible in that fight. Then he fought Joe Joyce, which, you know, I remember we were calling it like slop fest of the century. But he actually looked all right. He looked good. He actually beat Joe Joyce. Then Otto Wallin. Yeah, Otto Wallin, I'm like, no way he beats Wallin. He beat up Wallin, and that was impressive.
He kind of bullied Otto.
Yeah, he bullied Otto, and I like Otto, he's my guy, but like he dropped him a few times. Like he looked good in that fight. He beat Kubrat Pulev. Pulev, say what you will about Pulev, you know, but he's a big, tough guy. I've been around Pulev, he's a monster. So he's got a really interesting career, super long. I'll never forget him knocking off Arthur Spilka's head along the ropes. One of the most vicious knockouts you're ever going to see. I mean, decapitation along the ropes. He's always in good fights. He's always in fun fights. Sometimes they're sloppy, sometimes they're ugly, but I mean, he's there. He gave Usyk hell. He welcomed Usyk into the heavyweight division and gave him hell early on.
Yeah, I appreciate him. I have a lot of respect for Chisora.
Yes.
Has a lot of antics, but it's boxing. I mean, these are not your MLB, NFL, NBA media trained type of guys. They're crazy. You guys are nuts. I'm putting you in this. I'm lumping you in.
I agree. I've always said that. I always said we're nuts. I just hide it. My veneer of sanity is maybe a little better than others. But
is there anything that could send you over the edge?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I go over the edge. I try to go over the edge every once in a while. It's important to let off some steam. You gotta let it out. Otherwise, I'd be still in the ring fighting, because if I didn't find
many, our commenters said after the last episode, they were like, well, I don't recognize this, Chris. He was very, he was critical of Fundora.
Yeah. I don't remember really what I said. I was fighting you.
Kept it real.
I was keeping it real, and I was pushing back on you because you were like, I thought you were going a little over the top on Fedora. I was like, well, we didn't learn that much. Let's slow down.
That's why the show's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of my personality as being Gary Jonas, the CEO of ProBox TV, always said that about me. He goes, you're very contrarian. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, well, that's
we could even be more of that, like, which I don't
100%.
Like boxing, I mean, you go to sports programming these days, it's very, very debate style. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, I don't want to go fully there. Like I did, like, you know what I mean? Like, we see enough of that. I think we have good boxing conversations.
Yeah. And I think people actually like it too, but yeah, I can always turn that on. But also it was the middle of the night. I just called a million fights. Yeah. I was exhausted. I was on the road for 12 days straight living out of a suitcase, which we talked about many times
that could do it to a man.
Yeah. That'll do it to you.
I've done the 10-day trip in Florida, a couple 10 days, two 10-day trips in Florida.
Yeah, but you were in the same place. I was in different states. I was in four different hotels.
I went from Tampa to Orlando once, and then I did the Miami trip. But once again, I always preface this by saying, best job in the world.
Oh, yeah, I don't complain at all. No, I love it.
But when you're on the road, you know, you're not home. You're not home-cooked meals, not your own bed. Like, that stuff, once again.
It's also, we're also, like, on... for the world to see every day almost, you know, you know, when you're calling fights and then you're doing podcasts. I work 7 days a week for you people who don't understand that. I don't know that. I work literally 7 days a week. Dan and I record on Sundays, every Sunday. I usually work fights Friday or Saturday, sometimes both. and I am live every day, 5 days a week. I work and 7 days a week.
Sunday,
and
Thursday, Sunday
exactly. Yeah,
I played some golf yesterday just to blow some steam off. Didn't
I saw that. My phone. I saw that.
I played some golf on Long Island. It's a 70-degree day here. And then went to Pace's Steakhouse in Smithtown. Beautiful day.
Classic.
Didn't really look at my phone. Didn't want to look at any boxing stuff. Just wanted to shut it off for a few hours. I was like, let me open up my phone once I got home. That's when I saw the Wilder interview.
That'll ruin a day of golfing. That's for sure.
I was like, what the hell?
what am I coming back to? First of all, how'd you play? How was your round?
We played 11 holes because we really, once we got the Pace's Steakhouse in our plans, we were like, all right.
So
we played 49 on the front nine, which I'm very happy with.
So I grew up with the Paces. I went to high school with Pace, who's actually a fire chief in my hometown now. But Pace's Steakhouse, that was my go-to when I was kickboxing because I used to fight at the Sports Plus Arena right up the road.
No way.
Yes. So I fought at the Sports Plus many
birthday
a time.
Parties there.
Yeah. And I went to Stony Brook University, which was just down the road from there. So it was like school, where I fought, and where I'd go after weigh-ins was Pace's Steakhouse all the time. And I always get big-ass steaks. Pace's Steakhouse, phenomenal. If you're ever in Eastern Long Island, you're ever in Suffolk, that's the steakhouse to go to on the North Shore. The broiler, man, they can do a proper black and blue. They can really get that charred outside, blue inside, cool red center, purple center, really. Oof. Pace's Steakhouse.
We had the Porterhouse for two. Me and my buddy split that. We had some baked clams, shrimp cocktail, of course. Golf and steaks. I couldn't have been any happier. Then I got home right for the Yankee game that started at 4. A little drizzle outside. Yankees were in Seattle. I was like, this is a great day. And then Deontay Wilder talked about his ejaculate.
for over a minute.
Anyway. Think it's going to be a good fight. I like Chisora by stoppage. That's my official pick. You can get that at plus 135 right now in DraftKings. And I might parlay that with a Zouf win, which we'll talk about next. I like Chisora stoppage.
I want Deontay Wilder to win. I'm going to say that.
He's not going to win, bro. How does he win?
I'm going to say I want Deontay Wilder to win because I want the discussions of Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder to resume. I would like to see that fight someday. I don't even mind. I know a lot of people are going to hit me over the head about this. I don't even mind the Usyk Wilder. You know, that was in discussion. People hated it. It didn't go through. I didn't hate it, but.
So you want Wilder to win. You know, who do you think is going to win?
I want Wilder to win. I'm leaning Chisora. I hate to go against the American heavyweight, but I'm sorry.
Wilder has to win by knockout. And if Wilder wins by knockout, it's going to be something spectacular, and people are going to be jazzed up, especially coming off of that viral interview. And he hasn't had a knockout in a while. Like that last win he had wasn't impressive. It was more like a stoppage. He played with his food for 5-6 rounds.
And I'm looking at Chisora. Chisora hasn't been stopped since 2022, and that was against a still undefeated Tyson Fury. And I don't know if you remember that fight, a vicious beatdown. It was like brutal. Yeah. He was getting hit with absolutely everything in that fight. And then before that, he hadn't been stopped since Dillian White in 2018. So,
and Wilder's last knockout win was Hellenius in Barclays Center.
Right.
2022. And if you got to go even further back beyond that to Luis Ortiz, the second fight in 2019 for Wilder's last stoppage win.
And that was the second Ortiz fight because the first one was when he was getting outboxed, right?
Yeah.
Or is that this one? I guess he was getting outboxed.
Both of them he was getting outboxed.
Both of them, yeah.
But he was losing the second one more convincingly.
Oh, that's
the first
what one it was, that was yes. Back
those were great fights. That was probably his best win. If Deontay Wilder beats Derek Chisora, is that Deontay Wilder's best win?
No.
What is? Ortiz?
Ortiz, yeah, 100%. Ortiz was a monster. Monster King Kong, he was something special, and I think he's underrated, actually.
All right, let's get into Tim Zhu. He's fighting Dennis Nurja. This is on Prime Video here in the States. It's coming to you from Australia. You know who Tim Zhu is. This is the 10th or 11th life for him. They're really trying to get him in one more big fight, and that one big fight is supposedly Errol Spence this summer. Wanted to give him another tune-up. They found a 32-year-old Albanian with 20-0 with 9 stoppages, 83 rounds in his career, this Nurja fella. Not like a smaller guy coming up. He's 161 pounds. He fought his last fight, 154 the majority of his career. This is more about how Zoo looks. It's always about how Zoo looks, so we can get him in the ring with Spence.
Yeah, I read an article on Boxing Scene where they've already come to terms for the Spence fight, but Zoo has to win this fight. If he loses or there's a draw, then the Spence fight's out the window. So a lot on the line here. And like you said, it's not even so much about how he looks. It's just about, like, you got to get the win, dude. You got to get the win. Go get that bag, because apparently there's a big, big money opportunity with Spence. I've heard 15 million. I don't even want to say that word, that number out loud. It doesn't make sense to me.
You just said it that loud.
I know. It burns. I got acid reflux even saying it.
You sure you don't want to come back?
Yeah, I'm gonna take. I'm 15 million. But these numbers are getting thrown around, but a lot of them aren't real. And yeah, I don't know.
Wait,
and I don't know
if so. That's, like, that number, that reported number, is for Zoo Spence in Australia.
It's definitely in Australia, but I don't know if that's the package for both. I don't know if that's for one. I don't know if that's for Zoo. I don't know. The report was a little muddy. And again, Paulie made a great point. He's like, is that in U.S. dollars? What
kangaroo money?
What currency is that in?
Can we ask Paulie? He seems to get a lot of information on these trips to Australia, because I've seen some reports out there that it was going to be in Australia. Then it's like, oh, it's going to be in the States now, because Spence is such a ticket seller. Like, either States, it's going to sell tickets because everyone's excited to see Spence, especially in Texas. Over in Australia, 100% it will sell, because they just don't get a lot of fights. They're boxing-crazed fans, and it's Zoo who they love, and it's Errol Spence. That's a huge name.
Paulie said Paulie was hearing they can guarantee like 25,000 people for Zoo.
They could do similar number in Texas, too.
You think that many? That's a big number.
Texas, yeah, they do it at, like, not at AT&T. It's not an AT&T fight, but that stadium that's next to AT&T, like the practice facility, I don't know how much that seats. I don't know. Maybe I'm overestimating Spence's popularity at this point if they put a good undercard.
He's been out of the ring for 3 years.
Yeah, but he is beloved in Texas.
I understand that. But so wouldn't it have been better to have him do a tune-up rather than just go Spence? Get people more excited.
He famously doesn't do tune-ups.
It's not helping. That's not helping the promotion. It's not helping the sale. It's not helping your ability to earn. I don't know.
The Ford Center, the Star at Frisco, where Spence has fought before, holds 12,000.
That's a cool venue, but 12,000 versus 25 is a big difference.
No, yeah, I
They're saying like a minimum 25.
Yeah, when I first saw the news, I was like, selfishly, I was like, oh, I wish that was in the States. You know, you might go to that with PPV. You know, Spence, it just seemed like that should be a U.S. fight, but it makes sense over. I mean, Zoo fighting this tune-up is a money thing too, because they have these exorbitant rights deals over in Australia, and they do really well over there. No one wants to fight over there, and it's just hard. So, like, I get it. And Zoo is like despite him losing 3 of his last 5 fights, is like the chosen one, and it's still looked at. I wonder how he's looked at now. I think the fans aren't stupid over there. Like, obviously he's got the name and his dad, and he's got the legacy, but I wonder what they truly believe he can do still.
I don't think they care as much as you think. They're warriors. There's a warrior culture. All their guys lost, and they would always bring them back. Anthony Mundine, you know, he would get knocked out, and he'd come back.
That guy Zarafa messed the bag up by quitting.
Yeah, well, Zarafa is apparently going to get the Chris Eubank Jr. fight. They're in talks for that.
I guess he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he got dropped by No Limit, which is the promotion down in Australia. So I do know that, because he is hated down there. But apparently Chris Eubank Jr. is going over there to fight him there. So apparently he didn't bump the bag that bad.
Yeah,
there's money in Australia. There's a built-in fan base. People buy tickets. People come out. And, you know, there's that. But like I was saying about the fan base there in terms of how they feel about their fighters, they're not obsessed with undefeated records. Like, they are okay with their guys. It's almost like how kickboxing is. In kickboxing, like, guys get their head knocked off all the time. Like, your favorite fighter has been knocked out. There's video of your favorite fighter getting knocked out brutally. And, like, you still love him. You still show up. You still buy a ticket. You still root cheer for him. The Australians are warrior people. I think that's their mentality too.
As long as you don't quit. And that's when Zarafa quit against Zoo's brother, no less. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, he just messed up years of being like B-side in Australia. There's a crazy market there. You can fight until you're like 45 over there.
Anthony Mundine did.
And just roll. I mean, you're not going to make top dollar, but you're not going to get that here or anywhere else. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, but I think Zhu obviously is going to win this fight. He's a massive favorite in it. I like a Zhu stoppage and a Chisora stoppage parlay plus 230.
Zhu stoppage, Chisora stoppage plus 230.
Because Zhu stoppage alone is not good value. It's minus money because they're not really thinking much of Nurja. Zhu by stoppage alone is minus 250.
I really like Zhu, but I don't know about his power. I don't.
Did you hear what he said? I can't believe I used to fight the way I did.
Yeah, I mean,
what does that mean?
That's what I was saying. Like, what is he supposed to say? I think that's just kind of like, well, I got this whole new training style, new trainer, new camp. You know, like, I don't know. I've interviewed Tim many times, and he's a great guy, man. Really, really good guy. Awesome. And really, really genuine. Very genuine guy. But I don't know. I mean, how else is he going to fight?
He's always been a little more cautious. Yeah, but he's not going to be in the pocket. Like, he fought Fandora, even though I think he had more success. He had, probably had the most success against Fandora besides Brian Mendoza because he got inside and he chose to fight at that distance, but he set himself up for some big-time punishment. Same thing when the Murtazaliyev fight, fought at the wrong distance. And so is that going to be his new game plan, is being on the outside and taking away from his aggression at times? Because you're right, like, he definitely is like a technical fighter that takes risks in and out, kind of like his dad.
He's an effort motor guy. You know, he's not a puncher like his father. His father would set you up and ice you, but his father was more technical, physical pressure. With, you know, he had that high guard and he would stay low and he had a, you know, sick hard, everything he threw was hard and sharp. He doesn't have the same power that his father has. You couldn't make mistakes with his father. So there was that. Kostya, you make a mistake, you like Zab Judah pulling straight back. He did it one time and he got put on his back. You can't make mistakes with Kostya. Tim's not like that. Tim's got to beat you down. He's got to break you down. He's an effort guy. Super technical. I think I like his technique. He's got good hand position. Does everything right. He's got a good jab. Fires right hand off that jab. Has a good left hook. Goes to the body really well. Which I'm surprised he didn't do more against Fandora. He was really headhunting in that second fight. But that's another thing. Like, looking at the way Fandora has been performing, Tim's looking better and better. In hindsight, those losses weren't that bad. Like you said, no one's been as successful against Fandora as Tim Zhu has. And I think that can go a long way with Tim Zhu kind of being a phoenix and coming out of the ashes.
Counter to that is that Kelly beats Murtazaliyev, who destroyed Zhu.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Boxing math doesn't math, bro.
I like Zhu late stoppage and accumulation. Like, yeah, he's not a one-punch guy. Accumulation, just too much for Nurja. Maybe Zhu comes out first five or six rounds, pumping the jab, moving more, and then crowd starts roaring, goes into all reliable, starts taking more risks, closing the distance, late stoppage.
He went the distance with the last guy, Anthony Velasquez, too.
He just needs to win, obviously, because there's a massive payday, a cup of gold.
He doesn't need to stop this guy, but he, you know, it will certainly help sell the fight. Paulie actually knows the guy because he lives in Italy. Like, he's Albanian, but he knew of him because of that, because Paulie knows every single Paizan who's ever placed up a pair of gloves, apparently. But it's a fraternity of them.
There's not many,
especially in the current crop of a generation. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is this guy being handpicked so he does, because they see things that Tim could take advantage of?
He's never been stopped before, this guy.
Right. He's never lost before. He's undefeated. So
he's on 83 rounds, never been stopped.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fun parlay. I could see it going the distance. I could see Zhu being very cautious. especially those words that he said. I can't believe I used to fight like I did. Leads me to believe he's going to fight in a whole different style, new trainers, a whole new team. Yeah, that's, I believe, I think they're airing it in the evening here in the States on regular Prime. Not a pay-per-view, so we'll be locked in there. There's an MVP card in London, MVPW. It's their first big all-women's offering. It's coming to you on Sky Sports. You can watch here in the States on ESPN+. I like the main event, Caroline Dubois, Terry Harper. It's a unification bout. Dubois, WBC champ, it's her third defense. Harper's the WBO champion. Harper's been in there with a lot of big names, has come up short in her biggest fights. She's 16-2-2. Dubois undefeated. I really like Dubois. I think she's the next big star in women's boxing. She's got the goods, man. But Harper's going to push her. I will give Harper that. I think Dubois should win this one, but it's not going to be easy for sweet Caroline.
I agree. Dubois is excellent. I really like her. She's one of my favorite female fighters in the world today. She talks the talk. She walks the walk. She punches. She can knock you out. I really like that about her. This is a good test for her. Terry Harper has you said, you know, she lost to the biggest fights, but she's also been a world champion. So she has that level to her. She's been all over the weight class, all over the board in terms of weight classes. I think she won her title at like 150 or something like that. You know, she got knocked out.
She fought as low as 130.
Yeah, Alicia knocked her out at 130. She won a title at 150. She fought Cecilia Breakhouse at 47. She's been all up and down. She's fought only top opposition, Terry Harper. So I want to see what kind of test she can give Dubois and if Dubois can pass. Ultimately, I think Dubois wins. I think she hits too hard. I think she's ascending. And Terry Harper, she's like a quote-unquote old 29. You know, she's young. Ish, but she's been in tough her whole life, her whole career. So, I don't know. I think it's worth a watch. I want to see how good Caroline Dubois can be.
Yeah. She's a -700 favorite Dubois on this one. Harper +450. I watched Dubois up close at the Joshua Jake card. She fought on the undercard. And I think she was feeling a little bit of the pressure. Like Bumgarner was on that card. They're obviously, I don't know if MVP is lining up Bumgarner for Dubois. I know Dubois wants it. And I know that Bumgarner wants no part of it in terms of, like, she just keeps brushing it off, Bumgarner. But I believe that Dubois was looking for a spectacular win in her last fight in Miami. First time fighting in the States. And she was searching for it, didn't get it, but still won. I mean, she was really hard on herself after the fight, Dubois. She joined us on the live we did. And this is 10 two-minute rounds. And I like Dubois. And should she get Bumgarner, even though they're in two different weight classes, Bumgarner's at 130. Bumgarner's fighting April 17th at the Garden. We'll see there. I think that's the next big one. Dubois and Bumgarner.
We'll see, though. Bumgarner doesn't seem very interested in it. But
well, I asked Bumgarner straight up. I was at the press conference. I was like, you got to fight Dubois. I mean, you guys are, it's there. Like the animosity, you guys are on the same schedule. Like the fans want to see it. And Bumgarner was like, nope, I want to fight her. And she pointed to Amanda Serrano, who was like right off in the distance. And that was the first time I ever heard Bumgarner like mention Serrano by name. But I don't know Serrano's plans for the year. I know she wants to fight one or two more times, wants to get the knockout record. Anyway, this should be a good one. Ellie Scottney is also fighting on this card. She, I think, is legit.
Tip top of the food chain.
Yes. Top four.
Pound for five. Pound level. Yes.
She's fighting Maeli Flores. She's a -1600 favorite. This is an undisputed. She's going for undisputed Scottney. She would be the youngest UK fighter, male or female, to become undisputed should she win. I expect her to win.
Yeah, I called Maeli's last fight when she won the title. She beat Nazarena, Argentinian girl on a pro box card. This girl's tough. She can fight. She has nothing for Ellie Scottney. Ellie Scottney will be the youngest undisputed British fighter, male or female.
I think she's the best fighter that MVP has signed.
Women. She's a tremendous talent. And in a few years, we're probably going to be talking about her as the pound for pound best female fighter in the world.
Nice.
Once Clarissa Shields decides to move on and go have babies, I think Ellie Scottney is going to be the woman to beat.
Emma Dolan's on this card. I've heard a lot of good things about her. I believe she's from Ireland, but that name. Yes. No, UK. No, yeah. I stand corrected. Chantel Cameron on this card.
Like Chantel Ooh. Cameron. Another Beat talent.
Katie Taylor.
Yeah. She can fight, man. I
she's, and I thought she won the second fight against Katie Taylor. Katie she can headbutted and clinched yes. her way to that win.
Oh, ugly, ugly fight. Where's she been? Has she been active, or is this her first fight in a while?
Cameron?
Yeah.
Beat Jess Kamara in July on that big card at MSG.
Oh, Kamara, yeah. Okay, yep.
And then, yeah, she's had three fights since the second Taylor fight.
Oh, interim world champion.
She fought twice in 2024, and she fought once in 2025. So not exactly active. She's with MVP.
She's jumping up quite a bit, though.
She's super well. This is 154.
Yeah, her last fight was at 139.
Wow. Well, that's the thing of women's boxing, bro.
They go all over.
There's like a 15-pound fluctuation.
Yeah.
I love it because like anything's on the table.
But like, they also because you need the names.
Yeah, there's not a lot. The pool is so small. Mm-hmm. And MVP's done a pretty good job of cultivating the pool. I mean, they've done a tremendous job. It's they have it locked.
No, they cornered the market. They have, yeah, they so have, this should they be have interesting. The entire pool.
Yeah, I'll be watching. It's on ESPN. It's on Easter. Interesting.
The ESPN card's on Easter?
So is Zuffa.
I know Zuffa. Zuffa's always on Sunday, but the ESPNW card is on Easter Sunday. Are they staggering the times? How's it going to work timing wise? On times? No
idea. Like I'm pretty sure it's going to start like standard time. Any UK card starts here in the States like 3
guys,
p.m.
You guys are killing me. You have two different cards on Easter Sunday?
Hey, I don't get it whatsoever. I mean, that we're going to be recording our Sunday show Saturday, so we can be with our family. Easter is a big holiday.
Yeah, it's a big holiday.
It's in the pantheon. It's in the Mount Rushmore. If you're of that faith, like when I growing up, Easter Sunday was a big deal. Go to church.
So I was supposed to call Conor Benn versus Chris Van Heerden after I had fought Benn back in 2022. And it was the Easter Sunday weekend. I was like, guys, I'm sorry. I'm like, this is a big deal here in my family and my culture. Like, I turned out a good job, you know, across the pond for Easter. Easter Sunday is a big deal.
It's up there with Christmas as the holiest of holidays.
Yeah, we have Lent for a reason. The whole build up, you know, Good Friday. This is.
I'll be watching, but I'll be on.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it eventually.
Yeah, so maybe Sunday night type of thing. Yeah, should be a good offering from MVPW, their first foray, ESPN Plus in the States, Sky Sports, in UK. The Zuffa card is not their best offering in terms of names. Andres Cortez in the main event versus Curtinson Garcia. Could be a banger.
I've called both, actually. Andres Cortez has been, he's been on Top Rank undercards for a very long time. I've interviewed him many times. I believe his brother is one of his trainers. He's talented. He's good. He can fight. And he's a dangerous guy. Very focused. You know, he upset Abraham Nova. No, I wouldn't say upset. He beat Abraham Nova
It probably was technically an upset win.
Yeah, but I think they were expected to do better than they did. but I called this fight with Luis Melendez. I believe I called this fight with Abraham Montoya. He's fought the who's of the guys you're supposed to fight on the way. And he's one of those guys who's getting kind of maybe a little bit stagnant because he's waiting for his shot, wasn't getting it with Top Rank. So obviously he's made the move over to Zuffa. And then Erdson Garcia, he's a tough guy. He has a weird loss to Jordan White. He got knocked out one round. But other than that, you know, he beat William Foster III. Very good win. And really, it wasn't even close. He dominated that fight, and he's a good fighter. So, it's not a bad fight. So people probably don't know the names. You know, as someone who's called both these guys, it's a good fight. It's actually a pretty good fight.
You got Mark Magsayo on the card, long time.
It's my boy Fergal.
Fergal McCrory. Okay, he's definitely from Ireland.
Yes, yeah, he's actually really popular. He was a pretty good amateur. He trained in Brooklyn with. During the time that I was there, I was coming. He was coming. I was going when I was training over in Brooklyn at Saddam Ali's gym with Coach Andre Rozier, and Fergal was in there. I called Fergal's fight versus Lamont Roach for the title. Fergal came in great shape, showed a lot of heart, but was
Ooh, so this should clearly, be kind of a good fight.
clearly overmatched. And Magasayo, Magasayo is legit.
Beat Gary Russell.
Very, very legit, Mark Magasayo. And actually, I got some insider knowledge because my nephew was training over at Wildcard and got to see Mark train and spar. And he said the guy is in sick shape and he's a badass and he brings it, which we knew. You know, he went the distance of Brandon Figueroa. You know, he beat Gary Antoine Russell Jr. He's no joke.
He beat the older Russell.
Yes. Yeah, I said his name.
The Russell who fought Lomachenko. You said
Gary Allen. Allen. Sorry, Gary Allen. I didn't say that. Gary Allen Russell Jr. Sorry.
Two different people.
Good catch. So, yeah, I mean, Fergal is big for the weight. Fergal is in really good shape. Magasayo is fighting, I believe this is at 30. So he's fighting at 30 now. So he's going up.
No, it says lightweight.
35.
Yeah.
Oh.
They don't believe in 30.
Oh, that's right. So now this fight just got better because Fergal's a bigger guy. So if this is at 35 and Magasayo's best weight was 26, this becomes a more interesting fight.
What I think should be the drunkest fight of the night on this card is Crazy A.
Yes,
Asaf Avanesyan.
Love him.
22-6 against Eduardo Baez. 25-7-2.
I've called a bunch of Eduardo's fights. He is a tough, scrappy cat, man. He brings it. He fought Angelo Leo on our air. kept it pretty competitive. You know, he lost by wide margins, but he was in every round. This is a very quality fight.
That's Zuf is hoping this turns into like some type of viral. Both guys hit the canvas slugfest. And then they can mark it and say, only Zuffa can bring you this type of action. Because that's what this is.
Yeah, well, they're going to have a hard time beating out Pro Box TV right now for the year we're having already. They better.
But you know what I mean? Like, two guys with a combined 13 losses. Crazy A has been in Fight of the Year type of fights.
Azat, shout out to you. Love this. Crazy A is the man. I've talked to him on Instagram.
Crazy A, coolest nickname.
Yeah, and he fights crazy. He's a crazy man. The fight with him and Luis Neri was crazy.
That's what I mean. Like, I think Zuffa's, they scheduled this with the hopes that it turned into some crazy thing, and then they can promote the hell out of it on the UFC pages, and Dana White can say, you see that fight? That's what Zuffa's about. I can just see it right now. If it turns into, if it's what we think it could be.
I think it's going to be. I think they're going to, this, however this goes, Crazy A is going to try and degrade this into an absolute trench warfare. Baez likes to fight, but he's got good boxing skills, you know, and he can use it, but he can get dragged into a fight very easily. So good matchmaking on Zuffa's part here.
Yeah, this is a matchmaking type of card. Lower on the fight card is Troy Nash and Robert Merriweather, not fighting each other, but those are the two standout, like, prospect guys that Zuffa has. So I like to see them right back in it. I think they fought on the first ever Zuffa card, which was in January. So they're coming right back, and that's supposed to be the calling card for Zuffa. If you're Robert Merriweather, you're Troy Nash, sign with us, we'll keep you active. So we can criticize Zuffa all we want, but when it comes down to it, young fighters staying active, fighting a regular schedule, you can't criticize that.
No, that's the dream when you're a young fighter. It's really difficult to stay busy. I had 5 fights my first year, 5 fights my second year. And if it wasn't for all the promotional issues, I would have probably had close to 15 in my first 2 years rather than 10. So that's what you want. You want to stay super active early on. It's just really difficult when you're trying to maneuver around all the different promotions.
Yep. So that's Sunday, Easter Sunday, loaded fisticuffs. So have your spiral hams. And then watch boxing. We end the show with some good news. Xander Zayas, Boots Ennis, official June 27th, Barclays Center. All that is right with boxing. Cross-promotional fight. Unification fight. Took about a week to make. Zero egos involved. Anything else that's good about this? Stylistically, going to be a great fight.
And also, in the same vein that we've been talking about, where fighters are risking each other's their O's at young ages. We've been talking about guys doing that recently. We saw Shakur Stevenson, Teofimo Lopez. We saw Brian Norman and Devin Haney. We're seeing these guys taking risks and fighting. Even David Benavidez and Morrell, David Morrell. Like, you know, that was a couple years ago at this point, but like undefeated guys looking to risk. Taking chances, taking risks. Xander Zayas, 23 years old, has two belts, does not need to fight Boots right now. Choosing to fight Boots. Pushing.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you this. Fight. I wanted to ask you this as the fighter on this podcast. Obviously, you guys train and you plan to win a fight. But boxing is unlike any other sport where if you lose in the NFL, you're coming back next year or next week, baseball next day. Have you ever crept into your mind, what happens if I lose? Like, what's the plan if I lose a fight?
No, that's never. I mean, that's not how the mindset of a fighter. We don't think like that. Maybe you do, but later.
It,
in your
like, you know, it's a business. Like Zayas, like you said, Zayas choosing this fight. He's going to be the underdog.
I'm telling you right now, Xander in his mind is winning this fight.
But is there any, maybe not the fighter, is his team thinking
yes,
about
team, like, team. Now, okay, now we're getting into the reality of it. We the manager will talk to the opposing promoter. Well, in my case, because I was always a provision of service guy. So like, because I was always the B-side fighting on a bigger platform because my small promotion could never put on the show big enough for me to fight on. So I had to fight on other platforms. That's why I wanted to ask you the perfect guy to ask this. Right. So my manager at the time was Keith Connolly. Not a good friend of Eddie Hearn anymore. But was always like, he would talk to promoters like, all right, if my guy loses, we got a comeback fight, or we got this, we got that. So yeah, managers will put that in that. Go, yes. So not only will you get paid for that fight, but you'll get paid on the next fight too. Obviously not as much. You're taking a loss, you gotta go down, but you're gonna have a slot.
Options.
So if you're not, like, I wasn't signed to Matchroom. I wasn't signed to PBC. I wasn't signed to any of these promotions. So they didn't have to do anything for me. So then the manager would think ahead and be like, all right, well, because listen, you orchestrate what the next fight's going to be if you win. So example, when I beat Pravatnikov, the next fight was Pacquiao. But that happened because Bob said so. But when I fought Pacquiao, my next fight was set. I beat Pacquiao. I'm fighting Pacquiao again. There was no question. If I beat Pacquiao, I had to fight him again. Now, if he beat me, he didn't have to fight me again, regardless of how the fight went. So there was that, because it was a one-sided negotiation because I was the B-side, obviously. I was Chris Algieri and he was Manny Pacquiao. But then if we had fought again, and say I had beat him the first time and then we fought a rematch, then there would have been a little more leeway for me to be like, all right, if I beat him this time, or if he beats me, we gotta run it back and have a rubber match. Because he could say, yeah, I beat him that second time, I don't need to fight him again, because he was in that power position. So you always negotiate the next fight, especially if you're not with the promotion. I don't know whose promotion this would be. It's a co-promotion, so there's going to be back and forth.
Doesn't matter. It's a design. It's like they're all in the same bucket now.
Yeah, and this is probably, again, I'm not saying it's being forced by anybody. I think if it's being forced by anyone, I think it's being forced by Xander. I think Xander himself is calling out this fight.
Well, and making this fight. Boots is saying, hey, not so fast. Like, I pushed for this too. I think
I'm not saying he didn't push for it as well. Yeah.
Right. It's publicly, like, Xander's getting a lot of the credit, but we got to give Boots credit too for quickly switching from the Virgil and then finding this opportunity. I don't know what the financial splits are, but
giving him credit to go fight for two belts.
No. But the financial, like, ego. He put his ego aside, like something that Virgil wasn't willing to do. I mean, you look at these emails, Virgil posted the emails, which I think don't apparently make him look great.
Yeah,
like, no, Virgil wanted 50-50 split. He wanted everything to be on, you know, was kind of dictating the shots. And the Zayas, when Zayas only had the one belt.
But he's still champion. Face. It doesn't matter. He's still champion.
Right. That's what I mean. Like Boots, now Zayas has two belts. This is a big, great argument for why belts matter. Zayas has two belts now. Way more negotiating leverage to Boots. Boots desperately needed this fight. So he probably gave up some concessions here, Boots. Like, the money split is obviously going to be in favor of Zayas, and it should be because he's the titleist, but that's the credit I'll give Boots. But I did want to ask you, like, into the mind of, like, a Zayas here who has a lot to gain and he has a lot to lose too, because unfortunately in this sport, if he loses to Boots, I can see it right now on the June 28th or June 27th, that night Oh, Zayas, I mean, he was the right place, right time. He wasn't the paper champion. When a, you know, soft champion, only beat Barão and an unknown guy to win his title and loses to Boots. That's why I hope both these guys get the credit that they deserve after the fight. I hope Zayas gets credit for beating Boots, who is a mythical fighter. He's a champion at 147, but hasn't done anything at 154. And if Boots beats Zayas, I hope that Boots gets the credit. And I hope we're not saying, oh, Zayas was not ready for this fight. He was weak. Like, I hope both guys get the credit and fans can understand that these fights don't get made that often, and they should.
Here comes the contrarian in me. I'm going to push back. Xander loses. He goes, I outgrew the weight class. I'm going up to 160. And he'll probably get right into a title fight at 160. And
depends,
I don't know.
Depends on how he loses.
Who's gonna stop him at 160 from picking up a title? So, yeah, right, listen, on the 28th, people might be like, oh, yeah, you know, Xander, right place, right time. Then he goes and wins a middleweight title. Well, now he's a two-division world champion. Now he's a three-time world champion.
I think Yoenli Hernandez would beat Zayas.
Yoenli Hernandez, okay, but there's four belts.
True.
You don't have to fight that guy right away.
Yeah, you fight, that's definitely.
Do you think Xander beats Ramos Jr.? Jose Ramos Jr.?
Yeah, good.
Jose,
fight.
Right? Good fight, but Xander's probably the favorite
Jesus
in that fight.
Ramos Jr.
Jesus.
Is he the champion?
Because Abel's the uncle.
Fucking mess.
I always confuse the two. Abel.
Jesus is the champ. But 160 is a mess. WBO still has Janibek as the champion. WBA
that's garbage.
Stripped him.
Right. He should be completely stripped and banned.
Yeah, and I'm surprised by the WBA there. WBO, because they usually, they'll come around. I'd like to know. Well, and the thing with the WBO is Gustavo will give his reasoning. I'm sure he has. IBF champion is vacant. WBA vacant. Mm-hmm. Or Lara. He's just.
I mean, I would favor Xander against Lara too.
The movement would give Lara all sorts of issues.
And he's huge.
But yeah, but going
even
back
moving
to that,
up, he's huge.
Yeah, but going back to that, like today we're saying this. Like, I hope Zayas gets the credit, win or lose. But we know how this is. You know how fans are. They turn so fast on you. And I don't think
Xander should care. I think Xander should take the money, take the opportunity, and with a win, you're a star. You're a superstar. He has a lot more to gain. It's risk versus reward. It's a very, very rewarding fight if he wins. If he loses, I think the risk is mitigated a little bit. I think Boots losing is much more detrimental than Xander. I think Xander loses, it's Boots. And then you move up. I think it's a really, really smart move for Xander. Boots loses to Xander, yeesh. That's not a good look for Boots.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have another party.
Yeah, I found that out on my Instagram. I didn't even know about that.
You're invited. I'm looking at.
I'm not going, guys. How about that? I'm not even going. I didn't get a proper invite. I'm not even going.
We're looking at spots in Brooklyn. It's not the best area for sports bars.
Yeah, Barclays.
In fact, it's the worst. I believe there's a Irish bar. Don't want to give them a props yet because I haven't called them yet. It's still a little early. But we will have some type of party because the last one was freaking awesome.
Well, and I'm sure our listeners know people and have connect. So if anybody has anybody who's willing to host us, let us know.
It's funny because a few years ago, there was a group of bar owners. They owned like five or six of the big bars in New York City. And one of them got in touch with me somehow and was like, oh, you're in the boxing world or in the podcast world. We're looking to put a sports bar right next to Barclays Center. You know, like where the Chick-fil-A is now? Like that was supposed to be a sports bar right across the street, like right directly across. And they were going to put a podcast booth,
ooh,
studio in it. And I was going to do some types of stuff for them. And like, this is like a half-baked idea for these guys. They brought us in there and there was going to be a rooftop. And we were going to do all sorts of parties and stuff because they obviously there's concerts there. And there's at the time were Islander games. Islander games are no longer at Barclays. They're at the UBS Arena on Long Island. But that fizzled out, and it's now a Chick-fil-A, and it's now like a Foot Locker. But there's no sports bars around, but we'll find one. It's not at MSG because I looked, there's a concert at MSG on June 27th. Rufus the Soul, ever heard of
them? Oh, I know. Yeah. I have heard of them.
They're big. They have like
EDM, right? Like that's like EDM, dance, electronic You know, like that's, I used to like that music when I was making weight because you have to keep moving. So I would just put that on. She's going to keep, I'd be literally in my sweatsuit, just like, all right, we got to move.
I was thought it would be like early June because of the Puerto Rican Day Parade, but I believe there's nothing on MSG's schedule on June like 8th or 9th or around the Puerto Rican Day Parade besides the Knicks potentially being in the NBA Finals, which the way the Knicks are playing, they're on a 3-game losing streak, but they are third in the East. June 6th, and then June 7th is the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Whatever. Still summer party. Brooklyn. New Whatever. York. Summer in New York. Week before 4th of July. It's probably the most anticipated fight right now on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about Virgil and Boots as being like the best fight that can be made on American soil other than Haney and Ryan. But this isn't as good as Virgil, in my opinion, but just damn good.
Great
fight.
Consolation prize.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Great consolation prize. I'm looking forward to it. Xander's my boy. He trains down here in Florida. Been in the gym with him, sparred with him, known him for a long time. Great kid. Great team. Great manager. I know everybody involved. And Boots, man, Boots is Boots. I love Boots. Boots is one of my favorite fighters in the game today. So I'll be torn because I like both guys a lot. But I'll stay as unbiased as I possibly can. But either way, it's a good fun fight.
Yeah, because conventional boxing wisdom would say Zayas shouldn't take this fight. Conventional boxing wisdom would say
I was surprised. Virgil, I was surprised he did.
Very surprised. If Virgil and Boots falls out, Boots will fight. They were talking about some, you know, Rashidi Ellis types. And Zayas has every right to take a voluntary. So, yeah, this bucks a lot of trends in boxing. It's very, very encouraging development. And DAZN, hats off to them. They deserve a lot of credit for, you know, they get the top rank deal and then they get Zayas in a huge fight. It's one less hurdle when you have the networks like involved.
We could be entering a new era with this DAZN thing.
We are.
We truly, this is the most optimistic I've been in a long time for boxing, at least in the last 3 years. And we've had a good 3 years. I think DAZN is really taking the mantle for boxing, and I think they understand the sport. I think they were beta testing the last 7-8 years, and they've learned a lot, and they've now looking to take over in terms of the streaming space and how to get their content. And I think it's a very good thing. I think we're going to see a lot of crossover fights. I like that they're putting their thumb on the scale too to make sure these fights happen. So yeah, I'm optimistic that we are in a new era of boxing, and DAZN is actually leading the charge.
All the promoters under the DAZN versus Zuffa.
I mean, you declare war, and then you let the opposing team mobilize. This is what you get.
Which is hilarious because Zuffa is funded by Turkey, who has a 10% stake in DAZN.
Yeah, 10%, 10%.
It's like this guy's on both sides, Turkey.
Yeah. He's hedging. That's called hedging your bet.
It's called having infinite funds and just throwing it everywhere. Yeah, definitely a concerted effort by DAZN to have a lot more fights in the U.S., and we have a standout fight. June 27th, keep it locked for the party. With or without Chris Algieri, the party will go on.
I'm going to be there. You offended me a little bit. Just, you know.
You're busy. You host these lives. You're calling fights. You're living out of a suitcase. I thought it was like a foregone conclusion that we're going to throw a party and you'll be there.
Yeah, of course I'll be there. Yeah, All right. I'm busy. But
have a great weekend. If you celebrate Easter, happy Passover, happy everything. We'll be back still Sunday. We're going to be recording it Saturday so we can enjoy our families. And then we will react to Sunday's fights later next week. Some housekeeping there. Always, as always, keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We are out.